This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Hey, you know what show I love?
The Rich Eisen Show.
The pitch, the count. There it is, number 60.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Goodbye! Home run to the captain is number 51.
Earlier on the show, NBC Sports Bay Area 49ers reporter Matt Maiocco. NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, actor and comedian Dan Soder. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It's a higher register Thursday, which means we're about to play the highly popular game, at least in our own minds, here on the Rich Eisen Show, where you got to go higher register to say what you're saying and believe it. That's about to hit. And if you want to play along, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Dan Soder just had a very nice chat with Dan. Dan is once again, he's back on the show, but Chris, he's in the taller than you think.
Category. For sure, no doubt.
I first met him in person on the set of Billions.
Yep.
When he, as Mafee, and Kelly O'Coin, diehard Blazers fan, as Dollar Bill, went and boxed one another. That's me next to Bob Menery. We called the play-by-play of it. There's Deontay Wilder, Stipe Miocic. I mean, what a day. That was incredible. I believe Dan broke Kelly's ribs that day. Lots to talk about with Dan, who's a diehard Niner fan. We started the show with Matt Maiocco telling us everything that's going on with injuries, and he mentioned how Ayuk's not anywhere near returning. And then at the same time, John Lynch today on his radio appearance confirmed it, said it was more than just an ACL injury, and it's going to be he's not anywhere near close to returning. But they're 3-0 taking on the Jaguars this weekend. Nice chat with Daniel Jeremiah. And again, you at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Once again, TJ Jefferson, as you know, we're in the Micah zone because he's showing up on Sunday in Dallas. And once that game's over, I'm telling you, this thing is to bed until later in the season when the Packers will see how far they go. And with each time they go further, and if the Cowboys don't make it, we'll be talking about it again. But the whole business of, like, why'd you go and what's going on and, why did Jerry was asked multiple times this week, why are you being sent packing? Why'd you send him packing? And he even came up with the idea of, like, we waited to trade him when it was most opportunistic for the draft choices.
Micah.
That made no sense to me.
Nope.
Yeah.
Neither. But Micah spoke earlier to the Associated Press this week, but now he had the whole full-on meet with the media in advance. And Micah was asked about the reception he might receive on Sunday night in the Metroplex.
You know, I think Dallas loves me. You know, I think they're going to give me a good round of applause. And, there's no hard feelings there, at least for me. And I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great atmosphere.
Usually when a player returns to a team they gave so much for, they do like a tribute. Jerry said he wasn't going to do that for you. Do you find that is a little disrespectful?
No, you know. There's a lot of things I can consider disrespectful throughout this process, but I wouldn't say the tribute is one of them. I would say, you know, I just think, you know, there's hard feelings maybe there for them, but, you know, for me, I'm happy where I'm at. And we got a really good football team, so I guess I can live you my tribute and a win, I hope.
Nice.
Okay.
Good answer. That's a great answer.
Yeah. That's a great
answer. That's a super answer, because, you know, Jerry this week said there will not be a tribute video.
No tribute video.
Yeah. It's like that line from Caddyshack. Oh, there'll be no tribute video for you. But on your deathbed,
you will receive
total consciousness. Which is, so I've got, so Mike has got that going for him.
Which is nice.
Which is nice. Mike. Oh, there'll be no tribute video for you. I kind of go back and forth on that. You know, like, what skin is it off his nose to basically just say, thank you, Micah? You know, like, have just put 30 seconds together, because, and again, I know you always think this is trolling. It is not. It is the truth. What are they going to put together? Like, it's not like they made it to the NFC Championship game. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, it, like yeah. what? He had all these. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but.
Yeah, I mean, people have done far less of gotten highlights. Of just,
really? Like, it was 4 years.
He only had. We just got done saying how great, how great he
highly
is.
Highly productive
and all his sacks.
You could put together, like, if the tribute video had every single one of his sacks, it would last several minutes long.
In the postseason, Rich, it would last 1 second.
This is what I'm saying.
Brockman. See, this is exactly why I love Brock.
You know what I mean?
That's fact. He's had one postseason sack.
Yep.
So
in four games,
it's
the truth.
He's extremely popular. Great. He's right. He should get a round of applause. I mean, the guy balled
out. They won't boo him.
He balled out.
They better not boo him.
No, they won't boo him.
What skin is it off the Dallas Cowboys just for 30 seconds to put together a sack here, a sack there? Him, with kids in the community where I'm sure he did something of significance over and over again, and put up thank you, Micah, and round of applause.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? Hard feelings. What's the hard feelings that, you got Kenny Clark and two first rounders. I thought you're better off. There shouldn't be any hard feelings from the Dallas point of view, unless they feel like Micah went back on a handshake agreement. And I love how Micah's saying, I could talk about a lot of other things that were disrespectful in this process.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll respect them with a win.
Yeah.
Great answer. Great answer. What else is he talking? Oh yeah, when was he spoken to Jerry Jones?
Oh,
I think the answer to this one. Hit it.
Nah, I mean I never even heard from Jerry Jones himself when I even got traded. I found out through my agent. Like, I haven't talked to Jerry Jones since OTAs. So it's just like one of those things.
OTAs.
This is not
so that's like spring.
Yeah. Wow,
Dad, why did he say for Cowboys fans not to lose any sleep when he knew that Cowboys fans didn't want Micah going anywhere if he wasn't hadn't spoken to him since the spring? Man, didn't even call him at the end. He was pissed. So I guess there are hard feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get a phone call from the guy who basically handed me a cardboard box 22 years ago after I got the box.
And Baker was still pissed at Steve Wilkes.
I did get a call from the ultimate guy in charge, and George Bodenheimer is one of the sweetest individuals you'll ever meet. And Dick Vitale called.
And that's true. What did George say?
Oh, just, it's a bummer and it's too bad. And, and he couldn't have been nicer. And we kept in touch all these years, which is awesome.
Mitch Eisen is awesome, baby.
There you go.
I forgot I had that one.
That's what he's Dickie V, yeah.
I forgot.
I told you that story, right? We're in a honeymoon. We're going on the A1 for what do we call it? The freeway, or I don't know, it's a freeway. And what do they call it in Italy? I don't know.
Probably
what it is.
Expressway.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. The A1.
You go fast on it.
Let me tell you, there was some dude in a little Fiat that was tailgating me at like 200 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. It's fast.
Cell phone goes off and Sue hands it to me while I'm driving. And I'm like, it must be the president if she's
left. Autostrad.
Yeah, the Autostrad. Yeah. And it was Dick Vitale saying he was bummed that he was not going to be able to toss to me and Stu on SportsCenter. SportsCenter's next. And I just thought it was awesome. I'm in Italy on my honeymoon and Dick Vitale's calling. That's
that's pretty cool.
That's a box check.
That's kind of G right there.
Cool. No, there's hard feelings.
Oh yeah,
and it's Sunday night, and then it'll be over.
Maybe
if you're Jerry, shouldn't you seek him out before the game?
It's gonna happen. He's gonna be down.
If I'm Jerry, I'm seeking him out before the game.
To do what?
Get in his head. Because clearly, we haven't spoken, and if I walk up to him with my hand extended,
that's just gonna make him more pissed. You don't want to do that.
I don't know.
Let me explain something to you. In the big scheme of things, Micah is in a better position than he was. He's got more money, and he's on a better team with a better chance of winning. So, in essence, Jerry did him a favor. Okay, let's just keep it G-real.
We should check him.
He's in a better spot. Now, I heard like the tax thing. You know, Wisconsin taxes, Texas no tax. It ends up to be almost the same amount of money. You know, I'm not doing math or nothing.
I mean,
but like, yeah, he's in a better situation right
now. His contract in its full cost is $44 million more than what Jerry paid for the Cowboys. So you're right. He's in a greater, better spot. And in the long run, you know, it takes a while for you to realize that something that's happened to you is better for you in the long run. And I'm a personification of that.
Yeah, Rich, because you got to look at it and say, if there was really hard feelings for Jerry, right, Micah could end up in a far less favorable spot than Green Bay. He could have got sent. I don't want to start dissing some of these other teams. He would have went lot worse places.
He would have been sent there if they had the run stopper that they wanted in someone like Kenny Clark, who, by the way, is on the other side. He's saying this week that he was stunned he got traded.
A couple of his ex-teammates said the same thing.
You know, so it's like everyone's going to be hugging it out with Kenny Clark. No one's paying attention to that, unfortunately.
NBC cameras.
I don't know.
They're not on Kenny Clark.
They're not going to be locked in on Gutekunst.
Clark watch.
When Kenny Clark stops a run.
No double box.
But when Micah sacks somebody, let's see what the Joneses are
if
up to.
Micah sacks.
Six and a half, right? Isn't that
seven. The NFL record is seven.
No. Cutaways to Jerry Jones.
I thought you were talking about sacks for Micah Parsons.
No. Where did you set the line at?
I don't know, 38 and a half?
No, seriously. No, seriousness. No. We should come up with that number.
At least eight.
That's too many.
Double digits.
I'd set it at five and a half.
For Jones cutaways?
Five and a half. I'd go with six.
That's an over.
I know. I would take the over on the six.
Always over.
Yeah.
That's your philosophy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Three and a half.
Speaking of going higher, I don't know. All right, it's a Thursday. It's time for our fun segment that we used to do a lot and we had forgotten about. If you've noticed when you're talking to friends, if you talk to friends or family members and somebody, you know, says something by going higher register, we have noticed around these parts that means they're saying something they don't really believe. And they got to go higher register in order to say it. Like, I don't really mind that you've got a Dodger hat on, Mike. I mean,
good example.
You've been out here long enough here in Los Angeles that you have every right to, you know, root for the Dodgers just as they've started to win everything. And you should leave the Yankees behind because they didn't beat the Dodgers. You know, like, that's higher register.
I don't like that example.
So it's time for all of us to say something about week four that we needed to go higher register to believe while we predict something that happens this weekend. Hit it.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
All right. Christopher, as always, you start us off with your higher register take of the week for week number four.
Shout out to everybody who tailed last week. I absolutely nailed
What was your higher register last week?
Yeah, the Dolphins might keep this close.
Oh, that's right. They might make it a game.
And they did.
Okay.
Against Buffalo.
Okay.
All right. This week, I'm going to Las Vegas. Bears. Raiders. You know, after this game is over, I might be thinking, all right, I'm not worried about Ash and Chitty at all.
Oh, really?
Ooh, that was good.
Which means what? What do you think? That he's actually going to...
Maybe this is the bust-out game, Richard.
Do you think he can get 100 yards? What do you think? Can he get 100 yards?
He might get involved in the passing game.
Oh,
who knows?
Wow. And, like, blocking for the quarterback? Like, pass pro?
I think he's going to be out there on third down.
Oh, my God.
That's possible. Yeah.
You guys got to work on your higher registers, man.
It's a process, bro.
It's a process.
That's a real one from yesterday.
No, I think you're getting better at this.
We put this in the garage for a few years.
I had dreams about Kyle McCord last night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm done.
Were you drinking something? Is that a concoction to make your voice go up? What is in there? Is that a little tea? You're having your tea before going higher register? Or he's almost spit-taking. Let him swallow. All right, here we go.
TJ, come on, do better than Brockman.
Let's go. Your higher register take for week four is what? What do you
listen,
got?
Big matchup Sunday afternoon. And look, these two teams, I think everyone in this room had high hopes for them. And the thing is, whoever loses this game is going to have three L's in that.
I think I'm going to the same game as you.
That's a
but you know what? It's only a quarter of the way through the season, so no matter who loses the Ravens-Chiefs game, they're going to be fine the rest of the season. I'm telling you. They're not going to have anything to worry about. The loser is going to be just fine.
Okay. All right.
Oh. I couldn't disagree more.
I say I really believe it.
Okay.
You're going to be fine.
That's the whole point of higher register.
They're gonna be fine.
I'm gonna go the same game, but I'm gonna give you something to see just for week four.
Yeah, you keep hammering that on me. I'm sorry, I can't.
All right,
0-3, TJ.
Yeah.
And we saw a Chiefs team on Sunday Night Football. First half, they looked lost. Even your guy Collinsworth was saying that they looked lost.
I get it. I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, even that in a game in which Mahomes was quarterbacking on his air.
Did you see the way he went after that?
It wasn't like he was playing in the backyard. But the second half, as I said, Rick Dalton, Jeff, there it was, right there. And I'm saying is we're going to find out on Sunday against the Ravens. I think the Chiefs might have turned a corner. I think the Chiefs turned a corner last week. You know, they came out, they started throwing around. I mean, Tyquan Thornton made a couple catches. You know, now we're hearing Xavier Worthy's going to be back. Right around the corner, here's Rashee Rice. You know who actually scored a touchdown? Kareem Hunt scored a touchdown. We got a rushing touchdown from this team. So I think the Chiefs turned a corner on Sunday Night Football. And we're going to see it against the Ravens.
He'll get handled when he gets handled.
That's right. That's the higher register take of the week. I think the Chiefs turned a corner last week.
Ooh.
Can't believe I'm going higher register right now on the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, the eggs. That's nuts.
I mean, I don't. Maybe I'll hear from Stone Street.
Rich, life comes at you fast.
All right, very good. That's our good job, guys.
Hey.
Some of us.
We're getting there.
What? That was better than the last one.
I'm going to start blaming the team now. I mean, you. When did you hand that one in?
About an hour ago.
Exactly.
Oh, you see,
he need to be rejected.
What's wrong with it?
I want zeroed in.
Why don't you just let me do it my way, and then you know, okay, for optimal performance.
Just one road to WrestlePalooza. That's all he needs.
Start wasn't going that to his bad. Head. I'm just saying,
my way.
That's all he needs.
My way
is 177,000 total viewers. Look out now. Look at him now.
Look, I don't shine shoes no more, Rich. I got a belt. I got my own belt.
Look at that.
It's not a game no more.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that your own belt?
Shea got that belt.
Okay.
That looks like actor money.
It's his podcast.
That looks like.
And who has the belt? Are they disrespecting
you? That's a great point.
Why are they disrespecting you, TJ?
By the way, it looks like DAM. Disposable actor money.
Yeah, that's kind of what this is.
That's what that looks like to me.
DAM.
That's what it is.
That's pretty funny.
It's not disposable on your producer money.
Or ADM. Yeah. Actor disposable money.
I like DAM. That's kind of a funny fantasy name.
Damn. Disposable actor money. That's what that looks like to me.
No contest, is what I'm saying.
844-204-RICH. Number dial. Dan Soder's here. Let's bring him out of our green room, chat with him, and then finish up the show with some phone calls. I think that'll be great.
Membership means more with American Express Business Gold. Earn 4 times membership rewards points in your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, including eligible U.S. advertising purchases and select media, and U.S. purchases at restaurants, including takeout and delivery. What are you waiting for? Get the card that flexes with your spending every month. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Amex Business Gold Card. Built for business by American Express.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, on our Disney Plus and ESPN app feed. One big happy family. Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour starting tonight at the United Theater on Broadway in Los Angeles. If you're in town, go check out Dan Soder, who's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tickets available at dansoder.com. How you been, man? It's been a while since you've appeared on this program.
Yeah, it has. There's been a lot that's happened. Last time I was here.
Yeah.
You had me go through the 49ers season.
Yeah, for the win-loss game.
And I did better than I've ever done in my life of doing that.
Okay.
And the Niners went to the Super Bowl and lost again.
So you know what we can do here? We weren't planning on this, but we can do this at the end of the conversation.
Sure.
They've started 3-0. You could predict it from here on out.
Here's my thing, and I'm saying this to other 49ers fans.
Okay.
Maybe I don't do that and we just let it go, because I will never go to another 49ers Super Bowl. I'm 0-2, so I have retired.
Get out of here. You can't say that.
As a 49er fan, I cannot go to another 49ers Super Bowl.
Let me tell you this, though, Dan. Let's be honest here, okay? Let's be straight up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scientific.
You and I have known each other too long.
Yeah.
Do you really feel that the Super Bowl, I guess I'm assuming you went to the one in Miami, right?
And the one in Vegas.
And the one in Vegas.
Both Chief losses.
Do you really feel that you are the only 49er fan that's went to both of those games?
No, okay. But I do feel a responsibility.
But you are still the, out of all of those, probably tens of thousands, that Venn diagram,
yes,
of those who went to the Vegas, those who went to the Miami, and you put them together, I would imagine there's a large amount of people who went to both. You feel you are the only one responsible for the Niners losing both of those Super Bowls?
No. But I do feel, as a 49er fan,
yes,
to take the lead and to tell those other 49er fans, stay home. Don't ever go to another Super Bowl with the 49ers or in it again.
That's leadership.
We lead by example,
yes,
and my example is I will never be at another 49er Super Bowl. I will be watching at home, and I will be on the edge of my seat. And then when they get the sixth Lombardi,
mm-hmm,
maybe we think about it.
Two things. Number one, I didn't think of the leadership angle. My bad.
I care, man.
You're a friggin' leader. I should have remembered that.
I care about the red and gold.
But that said, last time we just checked it, my coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, just got in my ear and said, last time you predicted they would go 12-5, they went 12-5.
That's what I mean.
And then they made the Super Bowl. Made the Super Bowl because you nailed the record.
Fandom is a wicked witchcraft. It's just a wicked witchcraft
that we do. Well, I think what that points out is it makes you think, you know, irrationally. And I understand that. But,
I'm full on mentally ill. That's why I'm a stand-up comedian. And then you mix that with sports fandom, and it's not good.
All right.
But I just felt like, I don't know, man. I was so bummed after the second one.
Right.
Because I got to go to the first one because of Katie.
Mm-hmm. Katie Nolan.
Katie Nolan, my sweet, sweet fiance. Mm-hmm. Make sure you check out Casuals, the podcast. Mm-hmm. And she got me a ticket because she was still at ESPN.
Yes.
And McDaniel was the run game coordinator for the 49ers.
Mike McDaniel. Who you know personally, the head coach of the Dolphins.
One of my oldest friends in the world, yes, since we were seventh graders at Laredo Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to that one because of Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Niners beat the Lions, I get a text. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the
NFC Championship game.
I get a text from Michael Che, who's a huge 49ers fan.
Oh, we did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the most Michael Che way possible. He did it because his brother was a Giants fan. He grew up in New York, and he just wanted to be spiteful. So he became a 49ers fan.
All right.
And I love it. But we text every game, and he texted me after the NFC Championship game. He said, I'm going to ask NBC for tickets. And then he got them. And he's like, so
damn right he did.
Do you want to go to Vegas? And I was like, yeah.
Okay.
And then they lost, and it was like, worse than the first time I watched him lose.
Now, did Che go to the one in Miami?
No, he didn't.
Okay, so he's not one of those fans.
He's not one, so he can go. He can go the next time. He's free to go. I will green light Michael Che going to another 49er Super Bowl.
So let's say the Niners go again this year.
No one was expecting it, right? Come on.
They go again. All right, and the Super Bowl is in their stadium.
It's at Levi's.
You don't go?
No.
Get out of here.
I don't go.
I call a foul on that. I'm throwing a challenge flag, and after further review,
you gotta go.
There's no way.
No. I don't know. This is like a man entrenched in his belief right now.
No, I understand that. But that's now. That's like week four. The Jaguars are coming in. No one expected them 3-0. And it's easy for you to say, is
Rich,
what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, if that happened and I went and they lost, I would be banned from the Bay Area for the rest of my life.
You would not.
I wouldn't be able to ever eat an It's It again. I would never be able to grab a Sam's hamburger. I would be cast out. The wall would be shut on me, and I'm deservedly so. I couldn't even go back for a Giants game. I couldn't even go to Oracle to watch the Giants if they turn it around and hire Bruce Bochy at the end of the season because his contract is up in Texas.
Hey,
I'm just saying. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
The Niners don't even play in the city.
I know, they play in Santa Clara.
I mean, they play in San Jose.
It's come on.
If you want to go to a Niners game, you fly into San Jose. It is much, much more convenient to do that.
I go the old way, and I fly into SFO,
and
I wave at the candlestick highway sign.
That's right, that's right.
And then I drive down to Santa Clara.
That's right. I mean, it used to be like you could fly. I wonder.
SFO is maybe 5 minutes away from Candlestick Park.
And what I'm saying, San Jose, is San Jose's airport closer to the Field of Genes than San Francisco's airport was to Candlestick.
No, I think, you know what I mean? Think like San Jose's airport is. I don't know.
You could have landed in Candlestick.
Yeah, it was
would have been dangerous.
When you would land at SFO, you would go over. You just see Candlestick right there.
Candlestick was just for a football game.
Oh, it's the best.
It was
freezing for a baseball game in the middle of summer.
I know, but I mean, I just remember the seating for the stadium. It was just weird.
It was weird. They had the KNBR gorilla in the corner.
Yes,
to try to act like there wasn't a giant.
Yes. That corner.
Like just dead corner of the stadium.
Yeah, right.
But it was built. There's nothing there anymore. I said this, I did Julian Edelman's podcast and I said,
yes,
they should just build a new stadium on Candlestick Point because there's nothing there right now.
I just didn't, I don't know. Wow. I don't know. No. Well, those are times I go by.
I will not go.
Okay, good for you.
I promise.
Don't worry, we won't hold you to it.
Faithful, or call you hypocrite. I promise.
All right.
And then we can win. And then everyone will be very happy.
But you got to be psyched right now, right? I mean, 3-0, you didn't see that one coming at all. Certainly when Brock Purdy goes down after the first game.
Yeah. As someone that watches every preseason game,
yes,
Mac Jones has looked incredible all preseason because it's the Kyle Shanahan thing. You bring in a quarterback, it's what Sam Darnold, it's almost like a rehab center for quarterbacks. You come in and you go like when a horse gets injured and they send him to a farm, that's what you do with quarterbacks with Kyle.
Is that right?
Because, I mean, dude, Mac looked unbelievable in preseason. Mm-hmm. And so when Brock Purdy went down, I wasn't as scared as I was before when he would get injured.
Sure.
Because you go, I don't know, we might be all right. And then he looked incredible last week.
I mean, 3-0. Slinging it. You are what you are. And what they are is one of the undefeated teams in the NFL. And if you beat Jacksonville, now you're 4-0.
Yeah, but Bosa, that's...
I know. That's a tough loss. But you're 4-0, and then you're not going to be in Los Angeles.
No, I won't be there for the Rams game. Okay. I won't be at SoFi. I won't be at Levi's South.
Dude.
Levi's South.
I know.
Remember how mad Rams fans get because their fans don't show up and 49ers fans
ask
do?
Ask these guys.
I've season tickets.
Thanks for selling them to Niners fans.
I'm going.
Have you ever? Are you going to the Niner game?
I am.
I'm going.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Thursday Night Football.
So don't blame these guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going.
But do you guys get mad? Do you guys get mad when that kind of takeover happens?
No,
because you're talking to a Patriot fan, and then you got a guy over here. All right, he just took it on the chin in Atlanta. This guy. Where are you from, Mike? Livingston, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Okay, how long you been here in Los Angeles?
30 years.
30 years.
That counts.
I'm a Rams fan.
How long you been a Dodger fan?
I've never had a team.
How long you been a Dodger fan, Mr. Wearing a Dodger
cap? What time is it?
Exactly. a year.
That makes me.
After the
Yankees. I almost just threw this mug at you. I've never been so close to physical violence on a show as I just felt.
Right?
A Dodgers fan for a year?
That's right.
After they're already the billion-dollar dandies?
That's right.
After they're already going and buying everybody up and they're not even fun. Was it Otani that did it? It's like loving a girl.
No, it was the first game when I watched that first game. I was done in person.
It's like what?
I was going to say, when a lady gets giant fake boobs and someone jumps on board, and they go, well, yeah, it just kind of changes the way I feel about you.
Boob.
Yeah. Growing up hating the Dodgers as a Giants fan, the last 5 years, it's just like when they get everybody, they just keep getting
it. And then Ohtani's like, yeah, pay me a dollar now.
That's the worst part. Because the Giants match the offer.
Which is what? We'll pay a dollar now?
No, they like the same amount of millions. And Ohtani was like, but my dog's name's Dodger. And we were like, oh, we couldn't get Aaron Judge, who's from the Bay.
Right.
And you're like, we couldn't get...
He tried.
We got Jung Hoo Lee, though. Captain Handsome?
Listen, Captain Handsome. Yeah.
That's my guy.
And, it didn't work out in the very end of the day here this year.
We just got eliminated.
That's all right. So, you know, the Dodgers just can't close anybody. They can't close any games right now.
Well, for our house, for Katie and I's house, last year's World Series was worst case scenario. Because she's a Red Sox fan.
Right.
I'm a Giants fan. And we're watching Dodgers-Yankees in the World Series.
My freshman year in college was Mets-Red Sox. And I just wanted I was rooting for the Meteor.
Yeah, sinkhole. It's a sinkhole series.
Just 1 second, it's just like, oh, that's great that it's something terrible is happening, but the other people are happy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
that's what it was. And she was happy because the Yankees didn't win, and then that made me angry because now I'm seeing her be happy that the Dodgers won.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, he's a fraud. That's what I just
said. Well, Aaron, I don't count you. You don't get, you're not a Dodgers fan yet. Get out of here.
So,
you have to go through some bad seasons.
I don't know if we hit this the last time, but when you and I worked together that one day on Billions.
Oh, yeah. Back first, in my boxing days.
Yeah. Did you, you broke Kelly O'Coin's ribs? Yeah. Did you? You know you're not supposed to hit him.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I love Kelly to death. And he, Kelly's the man. And he texted me like, a week after he filmed that scene, mm-hmm. and he was like, "Hey, buddy, I just want to let you know you broke one of my ribs."
Right away, though, right?
Like, I think the first take, because they were like, "Do a flurry," and I was like, and I just swung and I hit him, connected.
Who was in your corner? Was it Deontay Wilder was in your corner?
Deontay Wilder was in Kelly's corner. I had Stipe Miocic, uh-huh. and that was awesome. That was like,
what was Stipe saying to you?
Oh, nothing. He was like, this is cool. Stipe's the man.
Stipe is. Giving you any tips on how to do combat sports?
They would go like, cut, and he'd be like, I don't know. You guys are supposed to look terrible. You're doing a good job. Yeah, he was just kind of like that. Because we were supposed to look like buffoons. So it wasn't like, hey, keep your head down. You got to drop your shoulder. He was like, yeah, you guys look like you can't fight. And you're like, then this is exactly what the scene needed.
Check the box.
Yeah. And he was so cool. He was just like, I was just asking him questions as a fan of MMA. Just right. like, when you fought Cormier, you know, like what happened with this? And he's also like a firefighter and also an MMA right. champion. So right. you're like, he's the coolest guy. And the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, and it was just a blast for me.
That was a
day.
Fun day.
Is there any chance of any more Billions at all?
I don't think so.
That's over. We're done.
I think it was fun, and I think we did it. Mm-hmm. And I think that day of filming, you know, was the craziest person I met that day? Because we were all talking. Like, we were all hanging out. Me and you and Bob and other people were right. like talking.
Memory, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Memory. And then I'm sitting there talking to this older gentleman. Mm-hmm. Very nice suit. Mm-hmm. And we're just like sitting there talking, and I just think he's like an extra. Mm-hmm. And then he walks away, and David Levine, the creator of the show, comes up. One of the creators of the show, him and Brian, David comes up to me and he goes, do you know who you're just talking to? And I was like, no. And he's like, it's the guy that shorted Enron. And you're like, oh, that guy's like,
wow. Are you like, serious?
I didn't even know. And I had so many more questions about it that I was like, oh, because they would get like finance people to come on the show. And I don't know that. I'm an idiot. So when he walked away, I was like, oh, man, I want to talk to that guy.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they had like, there was a pocket of people. And yeah. I don't think we were aware of this.
Right.
But they brought in like a pocket of like finance heavyweights to be in the scenes.
I thought that they were legit extras to be dressed up because they're like Bobby Axelrod's buddies.
That's exactly, but they were real finance people.
That real.
They were like actual movers and shakers in the finance world, and not, I don't think any of us knew. We're just like, hey, how you doing? The guy's worth like $7 billion, and he's like, pretty good. How are you? And you're like, oh, snacks are kind of cold today. And the guy's like, cool, whatever.
Yeah, and about craft services. Yeah. The guy who shorted Enron.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, his coffee's a little past its expiration, but how are you doing?
Guy's name is Jim Chanos.
And he was there, huh?
And he was one of the guys that was there. It was pretty crazy.
What's your favorite scene from Billions that you were ever part of?
It wasn't a scene. It was season one.
Okay.
I'm not a trained actor. I was learning how to act on the show.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was very loud with the other actors. I'm like, I'm a comic, so if I do something stupid, just tell me and I'll try to correct the course.
Yes.
So season one, there was a scene from the series finale that was, the season finale that was cut.
Yes.
And it's me in Bobby Axelrod's office with Wags. So I'm with Damien and David, and we're filming the scene, and we do a couple takes, and they go to like turn around. And again, I'm a comic, so I'm like always just trying to make people laugh randomly. And we're in the office, and I'm sitting in a seat, and I go, hey. And I lean, and I go, and let out a huge fart. And Damien goes, we can't circulate the air because of the sound. And that was when I was like, oh no. And I just had to sit in my own. And Damien and David were cool about it, but at first they were like, dude, there's no circulation in this room right now. And I was like, I'm so sorry. But that was like a memory that sticks in my head from the whole show of just looking at Damien going, pum, and he's behind Bobby Axelrod's desk, and he's like, don't do that. You don't do that here.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, would it be a good fantasy team named Dutch Ovening Damian Lewis.
Yeah, Dutch Oven Damian Lewis.
Dutch Oven
Damian Lewis. That's pretty funny. A little
long. At least you didn't do it to Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, dude. I would have never. I mean, Giamatti, I didn't know that well. Damian, I ended up knowing really well, and he was the man. He was the man.
Now, you were in many scenes with Paul Giamatti, I imagine, right?
One in the whole seven seasons.
That's it.
It's it. It was in the final season, in like, I think the third to last episode, I finally had a scene, which I'll tell you what, dude. Okay. Watching someone like Paul Giamatti act live, mm-hmm. like being in a scene with him,
right,
is like, it's like watching someone solo on a guitar. I felt the same way about Damian. A bunch of actors on that show were incredible. Costable, Maggie Sift, Asia Kate Dillon, Kelly, our buddy, yeah. Kelly O'Coin. You would watch him, but then like when you finally get to do a scene with Paul Giamatti, you're like, oh, damn. You're Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
he's
like, meow. Just like, it's like watching someone wail in person on the guitar.
You didn't dare talk to him about his dad, did you? About his baseball fan?
Yeah. At table reads, him and I would talk. And sometimes I'd be like, well, your dad was the commissioner of baseball. Mm-hmm. I was like, your dad booted Pete Rose. And he'd be like, he did. He did. You know? Like, yeah. Like, can we talk more about it? But he was so cool. Paul Giamatti was like, man, I'll tell you what, it makes me love everything he does more, because yeah. you're just like, he was just a man.
I'd fanboy the hell out of him, yeah, which is not professional. But.
And then like Damian would answer questions about Band of Brothers and yep. like Homeland and stuff that I had. He would like tell stories about it, and where you're just like, oh my God, just sit by him and be like, this is awesome. Yeah. Maggie was also very cool, because I had a lot of Sons of Anarchy questions. And she was really cool about that.
Well, she was in the first season of Mad Men, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and she was in the first season credits, the opening credits yeah. of Mad Men.
She was so sweet. Just that entire cast was, like, so fun to work with. We had a very cool thing where it was just, like, and they would say that. Like, Damian would say that when we were hanging out. He's like, just to let you know, if you ever act on something this big, it's not usually this cool.
Well, again, for hanging out there for that day was yeah. was something else.
Brian and David did a great job of creating a really cool atmosphere with like everybody hanging out. So that was really fun.
And they just reached out to you as a comic saying, we just need you on the show?
No, I've known Brian and David for a while. Brian used to do stand-up when I first moved to New York.
Brian Koppelman.
Yeah.
And he's currently the machine in The Bear right now.
Yeah. He's doing awesome on The Bear. And we were friends, and I met David.
That's who he is.
The computer in The Bear. But he is rocking that Raiders gear. But he...
That's right.
He was like, hey, we're writing this show about finance or whatever. And he was like, why don't you come in and audition, just because you know us. Mm-hmm. So this might be a thing where you're a little more comfortable in the audition with A.V. Coffin, the casting director. And I went in and just like, I really, really tried. Like, I learned all my lines, and I learned like a difference, a couple scenes.
Difference between winging it and preparing.
I mean, I'm a comic. Everybody that knows comics, we're the laziest pieces of crap. And so I was like, no, I actually tried. And then they liked me, but they were like, well, we got the actor for this other role that we wanted, that we were thinking maybe Dan might be right for.
Yeah.
And then they called me, and they're like, hey, you can either be like the basketball coach in the pilot, or if we go to series, we're going to look to write you in a role in The Office. And I was like, oh, well, you guys are going to go to series. So I made that choice, and it was the right choice.
No doubt. Dan Soder here. Thanks again for coming on. DanSoder.com for tickets to Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour tonight at the United Theater on Broadway in Los Angeles, then Seattle, where Adam Ray was just celebrating the big dumper, hitting his 60th last night.
Good for him.
Portland, Oregon, Tucson, Arizona, Denver, Colorado, and Knoxville, Tennessee, all over the map. Great to see you, brother.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Anytime. You know that. Yeah. And good luck to your Niners. See, I won't make you do the win-loss game. Since you don't want
to. Go Niners.
There you go. Go Niners, everybody. Go Niners. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, we'll be wrapping up this Thursday show in a moment.
Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? I'll tell you what it is. It's the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew. It's the capability to go off-road. It's up to 600-plus miles of range. And maybe it's that driver behind the wheel, too. It's the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603 for more details. All right. Fun show, guys.
Yeah.
Who wins tonight? I think Seattle takes it.
I think Seattle, and I don't think it's going to be very close.
Really?
I think Seattle's really good.
Arizona's not too bad either, bud.
Defense is really good.
You know who's been dominating is Calais Campbell.
True.
In year 90,000.
Right.
So.
I picked up the Hawks defense.
How about
fantasy,
this question?
So, yeah, I'm hoping.
Would you play Marvin Harrison tonight in fantasy?
No.
No.
That pass where he was wide and ass just open and it hit any.
Stone hands.
And he, you know, he. I guess he tried to body it. I don't know what it was. I don't know what's happening.
Never seen it like it.
Neither do I. But tell me, I will tell you this. Every single time something like that happens, I'm texting Albert Breer, and he's getting pissed.
Yeah, when it comes to fantasy on Thursday,
I hate it.
You got to have a sure thing. Otherwise,
what do you care? It doesn't matter when it's played. It doesn't matter when it comes.
It does. Because then you go Thursday night, exactly. Friday night, Saturday night, where you're in your head about your team. You had a guy.
Get out of your head.
You play Marvin Harrison tonight, and he has like three catches for 30 yards. You're going to be pissed off tonight. Tomorrow night,
it's so
Saturday.
Stupid. Fantasy is so dumb.
Because and you're in eight leagues. That's how dumb it is.
If you don't play him and he finally breaks through,
great. Then I can trade him.
Friday and Saturday, you'll be so happy.
Yes.
You'll be so happy staring at
value.
That.
Yeah, no, when you're up 21-0.
Now I can trade him. Now I can trade him.
No, I can tell you've never won fantasy just by these comments.
No, right? you're not understanding what I'm saying. Is if you don't play him and he goes off,
well then you just have to.
And you're staring at his big ass number on the bench. You're fine on Friday and Saturday
because you made that conscious decision to do that.
Then I could trade him. Sell
dumb,
high.
Dumb. All of this is dumb because the points come no matter what. The points come no matter what.
They don't all come no matter what.
You know, it's kind of like why would you mix this food with that food? It's all going to the same place. What do you care? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not the same thing, though.
No, I know. It might not taste good, and it doesn't look appetizing to somebody who's watching you eat. What does it matter? It doesn't matter. It all goes to the same place, which is the bottom line.
I don't think that's the same
thing. It's all the psychological ridiculousness, and I have won fantasy. I won with him last year.
We won last
year. I mean, the league you care about.
By the way, look up. You'll see me in the best ball.
That's fine.
That's true. You are on best ball right
Thank
now.
You.
But by the way, haven't you also said you don't like playing guys on Thursday?
I hate playing guys on Thursday.
You've never said that?
I played two guys on Thursday against Colleen Wolf and won.
Okay.
In our league. I put Jordan Love and I put Josh Jacobs in there. Of course, Jordan Love makes sense. I chose Jordan Love over Bo Nix.
Yeah, that's a pretty much a solid play there. Marvin right now?
Solid play.
You play to win the game.
Okay.
I'm sitting Marvin tonight.
I don't blame you.
You are going to, huh?
I have to.
Oh, my gosh. So that just keep that in your mind's eye. JSN, how great has he been so far?
I mean,
I'm with you. I don't know about blowing out. I mean, that's a little disrespectful to the Arizona Cardinals.
Maybe 10 points. I'm not saying a blowout.
I mean, they're on the road. They're in Arizona.
You don't think there's going to be Seahawks fans in Arizona tonight?
Oh, they travel. No, James Conner.
Let me tell you something. I will never forget that time. Yeah. It was right before Taylor was born. I did a Thursday night game in Arizona. We were in the green room underneath the stadium, and what was on the screen was delayed by a couple seconds because of, you know, we're watching a television feed. We would hear a cheer and a good play for the Cardinals would appear on our television set. We heard the stadium rattle and a good play for the Seahawks appeared.
Yeah.
And when Russ showed up post game for our Thursday night football.
Oh, yeah.
A conversation. Thousands of 12s were there. Massive. So. I hear you on that. I understand. But, you know, the Cardinals are, I think, maybe are better than you think. And we'll see without James Conner what Trey Benson does tonight. But I'm with you. I think Seattle wins. Yeah. That wraps it up here on Disney Plus and the ESPN app everywhere and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Tom Pelissero will be our first guest tomorrow. And then Kevin Pollak along with Steve Young.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.